You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. We know that God does great things. Not only did He call and save us, but He's also showing us the beauty and privilege of participating in His kingdom. So what is God calling you to do? This series is titled Greater Works.
All right. Do we have any first-timers who came here for the first time? Right, no? Okay, so we just want to welcome everyone. Can you welcome the person beside you and say welcome to our service? Welcome to Every Nation. Okay, welcome to Every Nation. We're glad that we get to meet and gather together Sunday after Sunday. And you know, as a church, as a family of churches, you know, we exist to honor God and to make disciples, right? And you know, it's very, you know, it's alarming times because we've seen what happened, you know, in Ukraine and Russia, and this is real. Although we can only see it on our phones and just watch it on Instagram and watch it on the news, you know, it's very, you know, we can see what's happening there. And you know, it's I saw a picture at TikTok. That's how we learn news, okay? So in our generation, we see it on those sources. And, you know, we see people, you know, both nations, they are really rallying even the young people to join and to really fight and to really do, take part of what is happening. They are, you know, they are gathering people. They are collectively doing their work. Okay, because they want to achieve a certain goal. It goes both hand in hand with both parties, right? It's Ukraine and Russia. Both are trying to do its best to really unite and to really, you know, do its work and really try to collectively as a nation and even asking other nations even to really, you know, really do and really, really fight. Okay, because both nations are fighting for something, right? They all have their own agenda. They both have their own, you know, reason. They both have their own purpose. Why they are fighting? Why they are rallying their people? Why they are uniting? Okay, and you know, it's really there's really power in the collective. There's power in people gathering together. There's power in people coming together, right? And you know, there's so much that you can do when you gather together, when you are united, when you are one. And that's the reason why that's their strategy. They want to get as many people as they can to get involved, to achieve a certain goal, right? And you know, people, for us human beings, we understand the importance of being together. We understand the purpose of gathering together, right? That's why there are many movements, there are many organizations that exist, right? There are many, you're part of an organization, you're part of a movement, and you know that it exists, right? And there's a lot of people wanting to be part of it. And the question is, knowing the power and knowing what a certain move of people can do, it, how are we going to make use of it? That is the question. Are we going to make good use of us gathering together? Are we going to make good use of our unity? Are we going to make good use of us, our, you know, the large number, you know, the great power that we have in gathering together? Are we going to make use of it? Are we going to use it for the purposes of God? Maybe some of you here, you are part of a certain, you know, organization or a certain movement. I don't know what kind of movement. There are thousands of movements out there, right? And, you know, you are part of it because you are one with it. And our prayer is that every movement, every organization would you make use of their unity for the purposes of the Lord. You know, just imagine the organization that you're part of. Maybe some of you are working in Marriott International, or maybe some of you are working in Galaxy, or maybe MGM. You know, it's a big organization. Imagine if your organization, if that movement will do its, you know, will do its purpose for the Lord. Imagine if they would fulfill and make use of that unity for the purpose of the Lord. Imagine the kind of transformation it could bring to the world, right? Can you imagine, you know, just people doing the works of God? Imagine just, you know, just them fulfilling the mission of God. Imagine the kind of transformation that it could bring to the world. And our prayer is that even for us as a church, you know, we gather together. We are one, okay? We could, you know, I think we have like 8 p.m. service. We have 11 a.m. and we also have 9 a.m. And there are many victory groups happening week after week. And, you know, there's also the body of Christ in Macau, right? There, and even in the nations. And imagine just us coming together just to fulfill the purpose of God. And there is... For us, we're going to look at how did the early church make use of their unity? How did the early church do it? How did they start the church? How did they, you know, come together? How did they succeed in their mission? How were they able to accomplish their purpose, their goal, even way back before? And until today, that it's still continuing its work, that it still keeps going, right? And we believe that, you know, we could really learn a lot of lessons of how the early church did it. Are you excited to learn how the early church, how the Acts of the Apostles did church before? Right? They are the OGs, okay? They are the, the pioneers. They're the ones who really started it. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 33. Okay, it says here, Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart, and no one said any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but that they had everything in common. Okay, before this verse, there's something that happened before that. This is Peter and John, and as we pick up from the preaching last week, that Peter and John, we know how these people who were just common people, ordinary people, and these are the disciples that God used, okay, to start preaching the gospel, to start sharing the gospel to other people. And they were ordinary people, but God used these ordinary men to preach the word, to share the gospel. And so the work that they were doing during that time, Peter and John, is that they were, and the other disciples, handful of disciples, is that they were doing miracles, right? They were doing signs and wonders. They were healing the sick, right? They were giving to the poor. They were healing the beggars and those who are in need. They would come and do that ministry. They were doing a ministry during that time. And not only performing signs and wonders and not only, you know, doing miracles, but they were sharing their faith. They were witnessing for the Lord Jesus. They were telling people about Jesus Christ. Okay, so that was the work that they were trying to do. Imagine they were just small with a couple of believers, with, you know, multiple of believers. That time, they weren't big yet. But during that time, there existed already another group. Okay, it's a group against another group. Okay, so during that time, there was a religious council that is, you know, they held a certain religion. They believed in a certain thing, in a certain faith. Okay, those were the Jews. Okay, the Jews believed that you know, only the Jews can be saved. And there were parts of it, there were small parts of it. There was the Sadducees, there were the Pharisees. The Sadducees believed that there's no afterlife. They believe that there is no, you know, that there is no eternity. Okay, and there were the Pharisees. They believed in the law. They believed that you can get saved if you hold on to the law and to the tradition. Okay, so, you know, there are many groups. There are many, during that time, they held a particular religion. And these people were powerful because they were the ones who had a say of the religion of others. So, you know, if you do something against their work, if you try to tell them that that is wrong, okay, you can get, you know, you're risking your life, basically. You're putting yourself in trouble. So that was happening to Peter and John. Like, you know, they would come and share the gospel, but understanding, knowing it in their mind that they could get caught, that they could get arrested. And that's what happened, okay? They got arrested, Okay, they got arrested and the council were trying to interrogate them, trying to intimidate them. And they were telling Peter and John, okay, you have to stop what you are doing. Okay, stop it. Stop preaching that. Stop healing. Stop doing your work. Stop it. Okay, have you ever experienced that? Someone tried to stop you when you're preaching the gospel. Right? They're trying to contradict what you're saying. No, that's wrong. You should stop it. I've experienced that, you know, as a missionary. There are students that I'm reaching out to and they will say, no, stop. The parents would tell me, stop what you're doing, right? You experience opposition. And you could experience threat, okay, by preaching the gospel. And that was what's happening with Peter and John. Okay, that they were experiencing the threat of the religious leaders, that collective. One collective was trying to stop the work of the Lord. The other collective was trying to continue the work of the Lord. Okay, so it's either you're part of one group or you're part of the other group. Okay, we want to be part of the right group, right? The one that continues and the one who keeps going. Okay, and you know, after they got arrested, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, okay, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Okay, so these two men, you know, they are probably outnumbered and they're overpowered by those religious leaders, right? And what they did the right move, okay? They did the right thing. They didn't go and isolate themselves to a certain island or they didn't go to the mountain just to hide there. What they did is that they went to the other believers. They went to the church. They gathered together. So just two people. And what they did is that they gathered together with the other believers. Hey, it was, you know, it's the importance, it's the value of going back to your, you know, to going back to your home base. Basically, that was their home base. And, you know, for Peter and John, although the amazing thing about them is that even if they knew that there were people who were more than them, that even if they were overpowered, even if they were outnumbered, what was important for them is that they know the truth. Okay, it doesn't matter, that goes with other religions. It doesn't matter if you are more or if you are, there's a lot of you. It doesn't matter if, you know, if you're bigger in number. But what is important is, do you know the truth? Do you hold on? Do you believe in the truth? Because in God's eyes, you know, what matters is you know the truth. It's not your numbers. It's not how many people you have, right? It's about, in the eyes of God, the truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Peter and John believed and hold on to this truth. That yes, people may believe, religious leaders may believe that Jesus is not the way, that good works is the way, that salvation is not, Jesus is not the way to salvation, Jesus is not the truth, He is not the life. That was their, the other faith, the other belief. But for them, Peter and John, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, they hold on to that. They had that deep sense of conviction that they are believing the truth. And you know, in Christianity, it's the same thing with us. As believers and followers of Jesus, that is the truth that we hold on to. We believe by faith that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's important for us, if we are one, we need to be one in that. We need to have the same, you know, same belief. We need to have that, you know, we need to understand the faith that we believe in. Otherwise, we will be lost. Okay, one person believes another thing. Okay, but you know, as a church, we believe that as followers of Jesus, we believe that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. I did not say that. Jesus said it. Right? So we put our faith in Him. Jesus, this is what you said. And Lord, I'm willing to believe that. And that's what they were holding on to. You know, and when they, you know, when they were facing threat and opposition, they went to the other believers, and you will be surprised at what the believers did. Because in reality, if you are facing threat, you could stop, right? You could just let, you know, you could just hide and just escape from it. But what the believers did is, in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 30, as they gathered together, they had a prayer meeting. Okay, they said, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." So you would expect the church to stop and, you know, they could have a pity party. Okay, let's stop this. It's scary. They're threatening us. But you know, what they did is that they asked God. They asked the sovereign God and say, "Lord, we know that you are above these leaders. You are above any human authority. You are above any religion. And Lord, we believe, Lord, that you could sustain your work. You could stretch out your hands." They could ask to stop it, but they ask God to continue. They ask God to stretch out His hands to continue what He is doing. He asked God to help those who are in need. They ask God to continuously heal the sick. They ask God to continuously set free those who are oppressed. They continuously to ask God to continuously proclaim and give that salvation to those people. They were one mind, one heart in that, saying, "God, Lord, continue to do your work." They believed in the work of the Lord, and they asked God to continue doing it. And you know, for us as a church, as the modern day church, as the 2022 church, you know, God is still in the business of stretching out His hands to heal, to redeem, to rescue, and to free people from the bondage of sin. It has not changed. This is still the same prayer that we are asking God. I know that we have all our personal concerns, but you know, our prayer is that we will continuously ask God to stretch out His hands. That even, Lord, that even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of threats, Lord, we will continuously ask you to do your work through us. And our question is that, do we have that same heart? Do we have that same mind? Do we have that same prayer? Do we have the same voice to God? When we are talking to God as a church, is that still our prayer? Because, you know, there is power in being united in mind and in heart and in soul. Because they asked God, they were expectant of God to do that work. And you know, God answered their prayer. God said, "Yes, all the more I am willing to do my work in you. If this is your prayer, that you are praying for my will to be done, if you are praying for my purpose, if you are sold out to do my mission, I am going to answer your prayer." And as a church, even right now, there is still that same prayer that we are asking to God. And our prayer is that that will be our one prayer. As a church, common prayer, common direction. Lord, we are tempted. Lord, we are threatened to suspend your work. But Lord, we ask you that you sustain it. They had that common direction. God continue. God keep going. God still continue to use us. And our prayer is that until now, that will still be our same direction. That we will continuously see the kingdom of God advancing even in this time. And not only that they had that common prayer and common mind and that common voice, you know, the people also had their common contribution. Not only did they have common direction, they had common contribution. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says here, "And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." See, we can see the collaboration of the people. We can see that the believers, they had that same agenda, but you know what? They also did something about it. We can see the generosity working through the people. We can see their willingness to contribute. we can see their willingness to take part of what God is doing. That's why they had, you know, they contributed, they shared everything in common. I'm not saying that you share your toothbrushes with someone here. This is not the, you know, the context, but you know, they were willing to contribute. They were willing to really share their lives and their possessions with one another. If there is a particular need, everyone, they are willing to contribute to it. You know, I remember that time when we had our church planting in City Light Church. There is a need, okay? God wanted us to plant a church. And you know, the heart of the people to contribute, to really take part. And even here in Ukraine, like the need, okay, because we know that there's undergoing, you know, there's undergoing war and people are in need of relief. You know, that we have the same attitude, we have the same heart and posture that we want to take part. I want to take part of what the Lord is doing. Whether it's in some nation, whether it's in this nation or that nation, my prayer, I desire to take part. And here in this verse, no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. You know, it's easier to share what you have when you know who is the real owner of that. When you know that it is the Lord's, you will not be greedy about it. You will be willing to contribute and give it because you know who is the real owner of that. You know, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our resources, when it comes to our talents, how many talented people do we have here? Come on, everyone. Those, you have your talents, you have giftings that God has deposited in your life. And God has specifically given you that. Because he wants you to contribute it for his work, for his purpose, for his mission, for him, for what he is doing. And the question is, are we contributing to the Lord's work? Are we taking part of the Lord's work? You know, it's not, I'm not, you know, we are not forcing you, you give, or we're not forcing you to, you know, to contribute. We're not forcing you to serve. But you know, one thing that I noticed for many years, the common response of believers who have received the goodness of the Lord, you know, their common response is to really serve, is to really contribute, it's to really give their lives to God in whatever capacity. You know, people would really sacrifice their time. People would sacrifice their reputation. People would sacrifice, you know, their image. People would sacrifice something because they want to offer it to the Lord. You know, that is our motive. Not because we are being guilty. Not because we are ashamed. You know, I've been attending the church for 2 years and still I'm not volunteering. We hope that you are not motivated by guilt. We hope that you are not being motivated by shame. We hope that you are being motivated by love. By love for God. Lord, thank you, Jesus, because you saved me. Lord, thank you for what you have done in my life. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in my life, God. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that I have now because of what you've done for me. You know, when you have that posture towards the Lord, you know, you would really be willing to partner with Him. You would really be willing to partner with the Lord who saved you, with the Savior who saved you, who rescued you. You know, we were singing that song earlier, Lost Without Him. In reality, we are all lost. We don't know what to do with our lives. We don't know what to do with our talents. We used it for the wrong reasons. But you know what? When God rescued us, it gave us that purpose. It gave us that, you know, it rescued us from all our foolishness. And you know what? The least thing that we can do for God because of all that He has done for us is to take part in what He's doing. To continuously allow people also to get to know Him. To allow people also to get the chance to be saved, to also have that opportunity for them to hear and experience what we have experienced. You know, people who have been rescued by God would also have that same desire to also help others be rescued by God. And that is our, you know, that is our posture, that is our heart, that our attitude to contribute is based on our gratitude from God. You know, based on our gratitude towards God, that we are so grateful and we are overflowing in our love for Him, that we are willing to serve Him and offer our lives to Him. Now, each one of us, we can contribute something. What is a talent? What is a gift? What is a spiritual gift? What is a resource? You know, what is a something that you can bring, can offer to God, and let Him use it for His glory and for His honor? Now, I pray that you will pray that, Lord, reveal to me how I can contribute to what you're doing. You know, they had that same direction, and as a result, they contributed to what they believed. And lastly, they shared a common reason. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." This, you know, behind every activity that they were doing, behind every endeavor that they were partaking and they were, you know, they were pursuing, their main reason and purpose and mission is this: they gave testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You know what? That was their mission, that people will get to know who Jesus is. During that time, they were just in Jerusalem. They were just in a region of Jerusalem. And what the people, the church wanted is that the people in this region will get to hear what Christ has done, will get to hold on to the same faith, will get to hear what Jesus Christ has done. Because, you know, when you talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, this is not just something that we, you know, we give as a bonus. This is the main, you know, this is the main thing that we are all here for. It's for us to make Jesus known. It's for people to know the salvation of Christ. Because not everyone knows the resurrection of Jesus. Not everyone knows the gospel. Ask your workmates. Ask them if they know what Jesus has done for them. They will tell you that they don't know. Right? They will tell you that they don't have the same faith. And you know, the reason why the disciples continued on is for the reason that they wanted people to know the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Their goal was so simple and so clear that they were able to succeed in their mission because of this reason. You know, it's the same thing for us. You know, as a church, as people who gather together, people who, you know, stand together, people who do victory groups, who do one-to-one, who do baking ministry or hikers ministry, cooking ministry, you know, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, there is only one reason. There is an underlying purpose why we do it. And it's because we want Jesus Christ to be known. We want Christ to be known. We want people to know the salvation of Jesus Christ. And you know, as a movement, as a family of churches, you know, we have been given this responsibility by God to spread and proclaim salvation to people, to proclaim salvation to the nations. In fact, to proclaim salvation to the whole creation. God wants us to fulfill this purpose and this reason because He wants people to receive salvation in Him. Because we believe that only in Jesus Christ is there salvation. Only in Jesus Christ can people be saved. Only in Jesus Christ, on what He has done on the cross, can people be saved from eternal damnation. And there are many movements in the world They're fighting for injustice. They're fighting for discrimination. They are fighting against war and corruption. There are movements that are fighting against inequality. All those movements, they are fighting against that. But you know what? The only solution is salvation in Christ. Imagine when people get to know who Jesus is, when people get to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, imagine there will be no injustice. There will be no corruption. If the leaders, you know, they have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then they will be able to overcome sin. And that is the purpose of the church. That is why we are here. That is why we exist, is to proclaim salvation to people. And you know, we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it. Imagine only 10 of us, only 15 of us would do this. Yes, we can still do it. We can still proclaim salvation. But imagine if all of us will do it. Imagine if all of us will do our part. Imagine if all of us, we will do and be one in this greater work that God has given to us. Imagine how many people get to have that chance to hear the gospel. How many more people gets to be reached. How many more nations can we reach for the Lord? You know, it takes us as a church working together. It takes us as a church believing together. It takes us as a church doing our part together for the Great Commission. And you know, in the verse Acts 4, verse 33, you know, as they continued to do that work, as they continued to contribute, as they continued to pray, as they continued to testify to the Lord Jesus, it says there, and great grace, say great grace. Great grace was upon them all. No, that is our expectation. That's our anticipation that God, we ask that your grace will be upon us. It's hard. It's hard to contribute. It's hard to pray. It's hard to go out there and preach the gospel. But you know what? God's grace will be upon us all. That's our prayer that, Lord, give us the grace to continuously do your work. Lord, give us the grace to continuously fulfill your great commission. Lord, give us the grace that whatever it takes, Lord God, whatever that we need to fulfill your mission, Lord, we ask for your grace and your grace alone. And you know, those people, you know, that's how the early church started the ministry. They started with the same belief that God will continuously do his work. And they started contributing to it. They started taking part of it. And they still stick to that one reason, is that they wanted to make Christ known. It's because they wanted to proclaim salvation. And you know, as a church, we say this, we exist to honor God and make disciples. This is the move. This is why we are a movement. This is the reason why we are gathering. It's because we want to honor God and we want to make disciples. We believe that, you know, that it's the honor is not on man. The honor and the glory is not on man. The glory and honor belongs to the Lord. The honor does not belong to a religion and man's effort for salvation. The honor belongs to the Lord. And that's the reason why we, you know, that's the reason why we exist. And our prayers that even as we continue to exist as a church is because we have the same reason that we want to honor God and we wanted to make disciples. We wanted to make Christ known. And you know, as we continuously do this together, may the grace of God be upon us all. What grace do you need? What kind of grace are you asking God? Lord, give me the grace to speak. Lord, give me the grace to pray. Lord, give me the grace to give. Because apart from you, I cannot do it. Only the grace of God would enable us to do it. And so the greater works can be done as we receive great grace from God. You know, as I'm about to end, there are two collectives, you know, that are recorded in the Bible. If you remember the, you know, when people had one language, they had one voice, and they had one agenda. And they started to build a tower. They started building with the bricks and mortar. You know, people came together. People from that city came together. And what they did is that they gave their resources. They, you know, they continuously cheer one another. Come on, let's do this. You know, they started to bring that. They started to build that tower of Babel. And even God said that if these people will continue have the same language and same voice, they will be unstoppable. God also believes in the power of the collective. He said that they would be unstoppable. And you know, in man's pride, they wanted to do that because they want themselves to be known. They wanted man to be exalted. Man wanted to be the king. Man wanted to be honored. Man wanted to be the ruler. Man wanted to have that power. Man wanted to have that honor. Man wanted themselves to be on top. And they wanted power. That's the reason why they gathered themselves for that common reason. They wanted to exalt themselves. But you know what? As the Bible says that God gives grace, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Yes, they were big. Yes, they were great. Yes, they were powerful in their own eyes. But God himself opposed it and said, you know, I'm going to scatter. I'm going to stop this work that they are doing. And you know what? There's another collective that God has surely given grace to. You know, it's the church. The church. God has brought the church together. God has given the same mission together. God has allowed, you know, God has given his word and his grace to the church. He said that because these people are going to do my mission, not their mission, not man's mission, not for them to be great, not for them to be powerful, not for them to be, you know, that for them to be honored and to be famous, but they wanted God to receive the glory. They wanted God to receive the honor. They wanted God to be lifted up and to be exalted among the nations. And you know what? That, brothers and sisters, is the work. You know, it's a privilege to be part in what God is doing, to be part of the church. Because this is not man's mission. This is not our own self-made mission. This is the mission of God. And you know, when you understand that this is God's mission and that God has given his grace to that mission, it will continue. Even in one nation, to many generations, it's going to continue forever and ever and ever. It's a kingdom that is unshakable. It's a kingdom that's unstoppable. It's a kingdom that has no end because it is the kingdom of God. The question is, are we building a tower or are we building a kingdom for God where Jesus is in the throne, where Jesus is exalted, where Jesus is glorified, where Jesus is magnified? I hope that we will take that privilege and take that, you know, take that to our own very own lives. And you know, me being part of this spiritual family, you know, it's something that I'm so grateful for because I am part not of just a group or an organization, but because I am with people who does the work of the Lord, who allows me to live out my purpose for the Lord, that enables me, that equips me to do the works of the Lord. And I hope that you feel the same way, that you are grateful to be part of this church because first and foremost, you understand that you are living for God's purpose. And each one of us, you know, we are part of this church, this spiritual family. And our prayer is that us together would be able to fulfill, would be able to accomplish God's mission in and through our lives. Why don't we close in a word of prayer? Can we all stand? Lord, we thank you, God, for, Lord, entrusting us, God, with the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, God, for rescuing us. Thank you, God, for bringing us into your kingdom. And Lord, we are here, God, and we are saying, Lord, we want to take part. We want to be partakers of the Great Commission. Lord, we want to be part of what you're doing in the world. God, use us, Lord. Use our lives. Lord, use our resources. Use our talents. Use our gifts. Use our hearts. Use our all of us, Lord. Everything of us, Lord. Use it for your glory. Lord, we give it to you. We offer it to you, God. And Lord, this is a privilege, Lord God, to be part, Lord, of your plan. Be part, Lord, of your work. Be part of your mission here on earth. And God, we just submit ourselves to you, Lord. And we just say, God, that may your grace be upon us all. Grace to those who are in need, Lord. Grace to those who are scared. Grace to those who are feeling, Lord, giving up. Lord, grace to those who are threatened. Grace to those who are persecuted. Grace to those, Lord, who are, Lord, who doesn't know what to do. Lord, we ask for your grace to be upon us, Lord. This is our prayer. This is our petition, Lord God. And thank you, God, for answering, Lord God, our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Tune in to more podcasts and give online through our website, everynationmacau.org. God bless you.